I too am a fan of Thanksgiving, probably my favorite holiday, the day of yumminess. And it's probably the only national holiday that is victimless. We're not going to be celebrating dead presidents, fallen heroes, noble martyrs. Consequently, the upside of that is that there has never been any reason, and we're free of having to listen to famous speeches and orations by politicians. Yay! Thanksgiving had an interesting history, and there's some problems with it. Christopher Columbus supposedly discovered it, because it was already discovered by a few million Native Americans. But it's not really discovered until a white man finds it and declares it back to Europe. But when it was, in that century between Columbus and the Pilgrims, there was more exploration, and they finally figured out, aha, Columbus is wrong. He thought he landed on the coast of India, and therefore the native people there he called Indians. Well, they're not. It was a new land, uncharted, unknown, and therefore it was the new world. And immediately, biblical understanding came to the fore. It was discussed in sermons, in speeches, in little pamphlets, in articles in newspapers. That is what few newspapers there were. And this was seen now as the new Eden. Not a Garden of Eden, or rather a wild Eden that was there to be tamed. And as things went along in England, persecution became worse. And the pilgrims at that time said, you know, we've had enough of this. We need to leave. And off they went to Holland and spent some time there, I think about maybe 10 years. And that became uncomfortable, and they said, okay, we've heard about this new world. We have a leader, John Robinson, our pastor, who is willing to take us to the new world. And with that kind of understanding, escaping from persecution, they saw themselves similar to the original Hebrew nation escaping from Egypt, a land of persecution. Columbus had been sort of an Abraham, and now John Robinson would be their Moses. So off they took on the Speedwell from Leiden, and went to join another ship, the Mayflower, in Southampton. And then they found out that the Speedwell was a bit leaky and creaky and wasn't very good, and so they stopped in Plymouth, England. Everybody got on board the Mayflower and took off. And of course, when they landed, they named that spot where they were going to settle also Plymouth. William Bradford was the first elected governor, and he took meticulous notes, had a diary, and he kept track of this adventure, going there and then settling, and kept it going for years. He said about the pilgrims, they had no friends to welcome them, nor inns to entertain, refresh their weather-beaten bodies, no houses, much less towns to repair to and seek assistance. Savage barbarians, when they met with them, were readier to fill their sides with arrows than otherwise. Then came winter, and after 7 months, which Bradford says was filled with cruel and fierce storms, after 7 months, of the 103 original passengers, 51 had died. Almost exactly 50%. There was no home where there was not at least one person in that family who was dead. Spring comes and they have made friends with the Indians, although there was back and forth even during that winter, and there would be a lot more of it in the years ahead. But the Indians taught them to grow maize and put dead fish, you know, by the roots, taught them how to hunt those squawky things called wild turkeys. And then came harvest time and that first Thanksgiving, which I'll describe in a minute. But right after that Thanksgiving, what they faced was another winter. What's going to happen this next winter? They don't face the next winter like, oh, we've had Thanksgiving, things will be fine. No, they were not optimistic. But what they did do was turn the energy of optimism into persistence. I can imagine some of the wives. Honey, we've lost half the people. We have to go back to England. This little experiment of ours isn't working. And then arose the sense of persistence. We have made a pledge, a covenant with God. We are going to make this work. We're staying. And so they did. They prayed to God on that Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for this new land that they had, a new life, and the bounty that God had given them. An American whose name I have lost track of once said that Americans believe there is nothing they cannot accomplish, that solutions wait somewhere for all problems. It's my personal belief that at that first Thanksgiving was born the spirit of American persistence. We will not give in. We will find a solution. We will make it work for us. I think that kind of thinking has been with us ever since. So instead of being optimistic, they were at least persistent. In fact, even Bradford writes, "What could now sustain them but the Spirit and His grace?" A time of scarcity causes us to look at what it is we do have, and we are thankful for that. It's a time in which we realize that the only true renewable resource is that which is spiritual. And so the original Thanksgiving. The original Thanksgiving was probably done according to, or at least in the spirit of, the book of Deuteronomy. And here comes today's scripture. In Deuteronomy it says, "You shall tithe all the yield of your seed, which comes forth from the field year by year, and before the Lord your God in the place which he will choose to make his name to dwell there. You shall eat the tithe of your grain and of your wine and of your oil and the firstlings of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And if the way is too long for you, so that you're not able to bring the tithe, when the Lord your God blesses you, because the place is too far from you, which the Lord your God chooses to set his name there, then you shall turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses, and spend the money for whatever you desire. Oxen, or sheep, or wine, or strong drink." That should raise a few eyebrows. Whatever your appetite craves, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. I find it amazing to discover that passage anywhere in the Bible. It almost says, gee, God knows how to throw a party. God says if it's too far to bring the tithe, then go on a spending spree. Have a culinary feast. And if you need to, bring some homemade whiskey. The original feast consisted of corn, beans, squash, peas, turkey, also duck, geese, pumpkin, but not in the form of pies, cranberries, but not in the form of sauce. The streams and lakes were filled with striped bass, bluefish, and of course, cod, Cape Cod. We don't know if those fish might have been caught and also added to it, because there were supposedly a couple hundred Indians, not just a handful. They had also grown barley. The barley actually was used to make beer. As to the Indians, that morning they killed 5 deer and brought the deer meat. The one thing that was lacking was forks. They had knives and fingers. That's how they ate the food. And whether the Indians understood, a prayer was made for the new land, of the new life, and for the bounty that was there before them. My final thoughts on this, I find the whole thing an extraordinary story. To escape persecution like the Hebrews did, come to this new land and come into tremendous adversity, and you lose half of the people that came, and yet not return to England. I think of the car commercials that I've seen down through the decades, and especially recent car commercials. You see these guys or these women driving cars under the most difficult terrain, or in deep snow, or various kinds of conditions. And at the end of the commercial, it'll say something about the nature of the car, and it's a rugged car, and it'll take you anywhere. It's reliable, and it's dependable. That, to me, is a symbol of the Thanksgiving spirit. They will get through no matter what kind of adverse conditions. I don't know what is in store for us in 2020. We face many, many difficulties, and there could be adverse times on different levels of our life, individually or certainly as a nation. But I think during those times, we can think back about the pilgrims. That in spite of apprehension about the future, we will get through it somehow. We will persist. We will reliably become a people with God's help. John Robinson probably read to them the passage of Paul in Ephesians, which goes like this. You can trust God not to let you be tried beyond your strength. and with any trial, he will give you a way out of it and the strength to bear it. If there are adverse times coming up, adverse times brings us closer to God and closer to one another. Just like this coming Thanksgiving, when you might be sitting down with relatives who are of the opposite party as you. We had to do it last Thanksgiving, and we'll probably do it again this Thanksgiving. As you look at the excess that might be on your tables, think of the excess in this world, which might have to be replaced by a give and take kind of generosity. I am glad for the Pilgrims. I believe they are a shining example of the American spirit. Amen. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving.